Hello, everyone. Buckle in, grab your tinfoil hats, because we are going on a conspiracy safari.
That's right. Recently, the fact that a large number of video games have been selling for relatively unprecedented prices has come to our attention. And we thought we would spend some time talking about that. I do want to make it known that on every subject we're going to talk about today, if the word allegedly is not used before or after it, just go ahead and insert that there on its own. We're making no assertions. We're just going to list out a series of breadcrumbs and hope that everyone comes to the same conclusion that we did.
Or the same loaf of bread. And just to furthermore insulate ourselves, everything said on here is just the opinion of Vince and myself. It is not the opinion or statement of Game Industry News or the Gin Lounge. This is merely our opinions. So, allegedly.
Okay.
Talk to us, Vince. What do you got?
All right. So, I wound up doing a little bit of research into the company that was selling the largest number of these games, because they all seem to come from Wada Games. Another interesting thing is that this particular grading company is the one that graded the copy of Mario 64 that kind of sparked all of this discussion, because that was the one that sold for $1.56 million or something to that effect. Now, it was sold at a place called Heritage Auction in Texas, and has an exclusive deal to only sell Wada's graded games. And they had this agreement in place before Wada had even graded a single game. And then for some reason, Jim Halperin, who's the co-founder of Heritage Auction, was listed on Wada Games' website as an advisor, with Wada also stating that Heritage Auction is a business partner all the way back in 2017, which, as a brief reminder, that was before Wada graded a single video game. And that's really weird to me, because a video game grading company kind of needs a pedigree behind them. Like, without a history of them proving authenticity, their grade's effectively worthless. But for some reason, Heritage and Wada kind of seems to have worked together to make Wada's graded video games have a substantially higher value than something like VGA, who has done video game grading for a large number of years. And allegedly, one could assume from this that the two companies are working together to manipulate the market of vintage video games. So we see that Wada has something that has worth solely because another company, Heritage Auctions, says it has worth, and they both have a conflict of interest in that object having worth to begin with.
And I would like to say that if allegedly this is what they're doing, technically speaking, what they're doing is not illegal. Is it in bad taste? Oh, without a doubt. But is it illegal? Not really. They're not technically committing fraud. They're not technically defrauding a customer. And based off what we have seen, allegedly, from the reports and SEC filings, it's definitely in bad taste. It's definitely something that warrants some scrutiny for possible kickbacks. But based off the information that we have right now, we're not seeing a illegal fraud scheme. What we are seeing is two companies secretly working, as Vince put it, to manipulate the market and maximize their profit. And stuff, while we normally have laws against securities manipulation, such as pump and dump schemes, we don't have anything for this unless it's actively hurting the customer or it is in the use for some other crime. So this is... they know they can get away with it if this is what they're allegedly doing, and they are just rolling into cash because of it. And there's not really anything anyone can do at the current moment except not buy things.
Well, and it's interesting that you bring up securities, though I'll have to... I need to jump back to that at a bit of a later time. Because, again, this is a large number of disconnected things that when you have all of them side by side, just kind of looks bad. And that is pretty much what it boils down to, as Neil stated earlier. It looks bad, but there's not really anything any one individual can particularly do, as far as I understand.
So when you say bad, like, does it look like my high school photo bad or Castlevania 64 bad?
Well, I'm going to say that it looks like CVS bathroom bad. You can take from that what you will. Because you have situations where Dennis Kahn, the founder of Wada Games, shows up on things like Pawn Stars to discuss massively inflated prices for sealed video games. And it's kind of suspect because the episode of Pawn Stars that he was on sounds like open propaganda. It's so blatant in just how stilted the dialogue is, everything of that nature. Now, he came on there to discuss a copy of Super Mario Brothers for the NES that sold for $100,000. And the person there was wanting to sell it to whoever... I don't watch Pawn Stars, so I don't know the names of anyone there except Chumley. And I only remember his name because his name is Chumley. How do you forget that? But the lead guy of Pawn Stars was requested to pay $1 million for this copy of Super Mario Brothers for the NES when he had just bought it for $100,000, which at that time, I believe that was the highest price point paid for a video game. So him taking that exact copy onto Pawn Stars, and then the grading company CEO pops in to say, oh, we've turned down offers of $300,000 for this exact same cartridge. And, you know, there's really no ceiling. It could go as high as what he wants or even higher. That's extremely suspicious when that exact cartridge sold for far less just a few years prior. Now, I'm not going to say that all of these different groups were in on it. That'd be a high bar of evidence I could not possibly clear, but I am going to say it's extremely suspicious. And while it seems to be, like, obvious market manipulation to me to make a few select people profit off of a brand new collectibles bubble, I do need to follow that statement up with, again, the running theme of this episode, allegedly. And talking about securities, you do have situations where new companies have arisen, like Rally, that allows investors to buy shares in collectibles for the purpose of turning a profit. So then you have other people getting in and speculating, making this an even more messy business. And again, when it comes to video games as part of this collectibles market, Wada Games is of course front and center in the whole thing. So to explain to the layman, Rally exists primarily as a form of gambling on comic books, video games, so on and so forth, because you buy in for a portion of what you believe that good to be worth, and then you can sell your share if it goes up. In fact, you can find purchase agreements for all of these video games, so you can actively track who bought what with what equity via filings with the SEC. So the same Super Mario Brothers cartridge that sold for $2 million was purchased by Rally for $140,000 just the year prior. Which, again, that's just super interesting.
Yeah, and Vince brings up good points, because when we look at, when we look at markets as a whole, very, very, very rarely is there anything that spikes 100, 200, 1,000, 2,000% in the span of a year. Even Bitcoin. Bitcoin took, at least 5 or 6 years before it was starting to exponentially grow? Like, Bitcoin did not blow up overnight, and even still, it existed before it was speculated on, as evidenced by the Silk Road. So, Magic the Gathering, which has been around for a long time, yeah, its secondhand market can be a bit unforgiving, and things can occasionally spike up in value, not nearly that fast, not remotely that high, most of the expensive cards you will see, at least in the hundreds of thousands or tens of thousands of dollar of range, are cards from the first couple of sets. So we are at this point where all of a sudden someone introduced this game, sold for a bunch of money, and now in the span of a year, it's gone, the highest game sold has gone up roughly, what, 100 times, 200 times in a year? No market operates like that without some sort of artificial influence, or in some cases, crime. But again, not saying that. But this is not a natural growth for the sale of retro sealed video games.
Oh, it's actually way worse than just 100 times. That copy of Super Mario Brothers, it increased in value over the course of a couple years by 6,500 times. That's why it's all so suspect. That's why it's so weird, you know what I mean?
And should we say times, or is it percentage, technically?
Percent, 6,500%. Good catch on that, yes.
Yep, forgive us, we meant percentage 100 times. Well, 100 goes up by 100%, 200%, but, or as Vincent put it, 6,500% for a game, and that's just not natural.
Don't expect good math out of me. I like paint.
I can't even think of an art, any sort of art or trading card game or collectible that has gone up 6,500% in 2-3 years, or even at all. Like, sports cards for the longest time. Like, baseball cards didn't even go up that quick. So it's definitely not, even if all of this is legit, even if any investigation shows that there's no issues or no illegal activity, the optics are just terrible.
Yeah, for certain. And it gets really interesting when you know some of the people, like, behind this entire thing. The video game media was more than happy to just jump on every single instance in which a video game ballooned upwards in price. When that copy of Mario Brothers sold for $100,000, tons of different outlets had Dennis Kahn, the founder of WADA Games, on their column, throwing in his quotes, making it seem as if all of this was the new normal. But a lot of that can be manufactured to make it seem like something has a ceaselessly high upward trajectory. And, I mean, I can't prove that that is exactly the case, but it is awfully convenient that you have individuals like, you know, the most avid collector in the world is this dentist who decided to get into vintage video games by dropping $1 million, and then find out that all of the money dropped on those games was from other sources, and you can track that by the SEC filings of those purchases. It's a lot of coincidences simultaneously. Even weirder that I've encountered is one individual who ran Nintendo Age, which was a forum that I even frequented when I was younger, that for the most part was a retro video game collector's, it was largely just a forum. And people would link each other to buying guides, explain, you know, hey, this is how much this costs, that here might be a good place to find this, that sort of thing. So the guy who ran Nintendo Age also had one of the largest collections of sealed Nintendo games. And he suddenly sells to an individual named Jeff Meyer, who bought the collection, got it graded by WADA, and immediately started selling them for inflated prices under a special name, the Carolina Collection, because both men were in North Carolina. Which, that sounds perfectly normal. It sounds like the guy from Nintendo Age, Dane Anderson, just wanted to get out of collecting. Interestingly enough, Dane Anderson is also listed as an executive officer of WADA Games in its incorporation documentation in 2017. You can find this on the SEC's website. Jeff Meyer also was listed as a director in WADA's SEC filing from 2018. And for some reason, the CEO of WADA, Dennis Kahn, even told game journalist outlets that WADA has a policy of not allowing employees to get their games graded or sold or anything of that nature. Meanwhile, the director of the company had its games both graded and sold with a special collection name that increased the value. And also, just as a brief aside, Jeff Meyer is also making his own video game buyer's guide, which he decided to purchase Nintendo Age and another prominent source of retro game collectors' information and shut them both down, which, that's neat. I'm not going to make any conclusions from that, but that also does seem super... It seems suspect. That's all I'm saying.
So, when Vince and I were talking about this, like, yeah, the mysteries are interesting. Just flat out, you know, you always love a good conspiracy theory. You always love to follow the breadcrumbs. But we asked ourselves, why is this relevant to most of our readers or listeners? And quite frankly, history repeats itself. If you look throughout history, whenever these new unregulated markets evolve, some people, you have the people with the money who get in and kind of dictate the terms, and then the people who don't have a lot of money kind of get in a little bit later and are at the risk of losing a lot of money. Because right now, we're at a point where sealed video games are selling for 4,000. 5,000, 6,000% above what they were. So the average Joe, like you and me, are going to look at that and go, man, I should spend the money to buy sealed video games because if I wait a little bit, the value will keep skyrocketing and I can pay off my student loans finally before I die. And now, let's say Vince and I decide that we want to go and we somehow got an amazing Christmas bonus from Game Industry News. And we went halfsies on a sealed Super Mario 64 for $3 million. And then all of a sudden the bubble pops and everyone's just like, yeah, these prices are inflated. It's now worth $60,000. Well, we've...
You don't want to be left holding the bag.
Yeah, because we at that point, we would have been down by $2.9 million. And you can say that no reasonable person would invest that much money in something that's clearly a bubble, but they do. People get excited about the possibility of making money, i.e. look at Dogecoin, where just Elon Musk made a tweet about Dogecoin and its value shot up, I think it was 500%. And people were jumping on it and Dogecoin crashed again and people were out a bunch of money because that's what we do. We get excited, we see the opportunity, we see dollar signs, and we jump at it. And the problem with collectibles is so much of the value is either artificially inflated or so tenuous that the value could just drop at any moment and you're out all that money. So what we are worried about and why we decided to do this show for you was we see all the news stories of games selling for record amounts of money and how they just keep going up and up and up and up and up. And we knew that there were going to be people who were going to be like, I want to get in on this. And quite frankly, it doesn't look sustainable. It looks like it's an elaborate scheme, allegedly, to artificially pump up the prices for people who have these games so they can make a whole bunch of money and then just cash out and move on with their lives. And it's definitely something that we felt needed to get mentioned because they call it a bubble because eventually it does go pop. And unlike a house, you can't live in your collectibles unless you bought a collectible house.
Yeah, it's like eventually the people who buy in on Rally are going to be left holding the bag. And I like that you just went the bubble route immediately because it is very similar to cryptocurrency. What we see currently is elaborate pump and dump just done on Twitter. It's very odd. But things like the SEC can't prevent these kind of pump and dumps because it's a worldwide currency, and there's not jurisdiction for them to do anything at all. So when you have people like, and hopefully I'm not going to irritate the Elon Musk stan, I don't want to make the Musketeers angry, but when you have someone like Elon Musk say, hey, we're going to allow the purchase of Tesla with Bitcoin after they had acquired a ton of Bitcoin behind the scenes, then they dump all of it and then say, nah, never mind. We're not going to do that anymore. And then the price plummets and then they buy more because the price just bottomed out for a period of time. It's just a circumstance where people who have money can make money. And I'm sure there are a lot of people who are able to make a whole bunch off of this without, you know, losing their shirt. And that's wonderful. But a lot of those people making their money is off the back of someone who lost their shirt, effectively. There's going to be a loser in that type of a game. And since Neil went ahead and mentioned bubbles, I do want to make it known that James Halperin, who owns the auction house that all of these WADA games are sold through, has been part of speculative bubbles before. In the 1980s, the FTC charged several people with overgrading coins for the purpose of speculation and resale, and they deemed it a deceptive and unfair act. So Halperin had to contribute, I think, $1.5 million to a fund for collectors who purchased coins graded by his company, NCI. And Heritage, back at that time, did sell coins graded by NCI. Or perhaps Heritage went by another name at that particular point in time as well. But I just want to make it known that Halperin had committed this kind of an act in the past, and when the FTC caught him, he settled charges and admitted that his company's failures to disclose information misled customers as to the value of what they purchased. And yes, in case people didn't put it together yet, James Halperin, who owns Heritage Auction today, is the same one that has the exclusivity agreement with WADA Games, and is the same one who was part of NCI. And it seems like old habits die hard, though it could just be a coincidence that the man at the center of the coin bubble that burst in the 80s is also present here in another commodities bubble. Collectibles bubble, excuse me. Along with the auction house that he founded. Again.
And it's also
just seems very strange.
It's definitely strange. And it's worth noting that you and I have had, probably we've discussed this ad nauseum, that we're worried about Magic the Gathering with the way some of their prices and collectibles and philosophies have gone. We talked about Pokemon cards with the way that suddenly shot up and caused a fervor. And now we got the sealed games. Like, it's a lot of money is going into collectibles. And I feel like, and I think we've both discussed that eventually a lot of money is going to leave collectibles and there's going to be a lot of ruins in the background of a lot of these games, trading card games, video games, that all of a sudden their value's just rapidly deflated. And it's worrisome for the average person who doesn't really have the ability or the understanding to be aware of these bubbles or to really recover from them as easily as someone who knew it was going in investment going in. Because you and I both play Magic the Gathering. At no point when we started playing Magic the Gathering were we looking at it as a investment that we can use to fill our retirement accounts. It's been a fun game for us. We enjoy playing it. Same with video games. But now we're getting to that point where everything is starting to become an investment. And like you brought up with the coin bubble, like eventually the house of cards is going to blow over and it's going to cause a lot of damage on the way down.
Well, yeah. And when it comes down to it, if someone, I'm not going to judge someone for how they want to spend their money. Like, someone can pry my guy's cradles from my cold, dead hands, you know, that sort of thing. What it comes down to, if you want to try and get in on these things, that's fine. Just know that it is a bit more of a wet work than what a lot of people seem to understand this circumstance is. Because these people aren't buying these games to... I mean, they're not buying them to play them. Most people aren't even buying them to collect them. They're buying them for the sole purpose of trying to flip them later. And not every single circumstance like this winds up panning out. Because you... I mean, you hear stories of, like, what happened with the copies of Spider-Man for the Atari, which it may have gone for a reasonably decent amount, and then Heritage just got flooded with copies of Spider-Man, so it's not really that valuable anymore. But you do have people like Mark Haspel, one of the co-founders of WADA, just slowly selling graded Atari 2600 games. Just every so often, one of the co-founders of this game grading company has just been selling their games for high prices on eBay, of all places, just to kind of balloon up the prices, because why wouldn't they? So when you're joining in on speculation, it's important that you only do this with money that you can afford to lose. And when it comes to this whole WADA Games situation, all of the press regarding them, one final note I'll bring up on that Jeff Meyer fellow, who is their director in 2018, that guy still apparently produces articles talking about WADA in the third person without disclosing what their relationship is. So he'll positively praise them in a piece and then not disclose that. And I don't understand why gamers were so mad because of a false story about some woman sleeping with a guy to get a favorable review that he didn't even wind up doing or something like that. Yet we have a situation where people are speculating, just, you know, rampant capitalist speculation on something without disclosing their relationship, further bolstering the circumstances that cause these games to sell for inflated values, and no one knows or cares about it, and that's wild to me. And again, allegedly.
So,
because I've got to keep saying that.
From my final point, I might as well get some use out of my degree and bore everyone to death, because we're going to talk a little bit about economics. There are a special type of item called Veblen goods. Veblen goods are a lot like your Supremes or a lot of your limited release Nikes, where as supply goes down, demand goes up. This is not the case. The demand right now, the demand itself is probably artificially inflated along with the value. Sealed video games are not like Supreme or other Veblen goods where limited edition makes more people want to buy more. So I don't want anyone to think, well, if there's only so many of these left in the world, then if I get one, then the value is just going to keep going up and demand will keep going up. That's not the way these work. This is clearly speculation with the sole purpose of turning a profit, as Vince has pointed out correctly. So, to recap, the behind the scenes is suspicious, the front of the scene is suspicious, the economics aren't agreeing with it. It might be good for the average person to kind of sit this out and just let the bubble pop and stay clear of everything, because nothing about this looks right. And again, this is allegedly. We don't have any physical evidence. I'm not Peter Parker out there with my cameras stooping on people. But there's enough wrong with this situation that I think people should save their money and not spend in. Because when things go bad, they're going to go bad quick.
Yeah, for sure. I have two things I want to end on real quick, because when it comes to these games, because people who are going to be listening to a video game podcast are probably going to be people who play the games. And I do want to make it known that our physical media will not last forever. They will fail. Like, people speculate that a properly archived cartridge with the battery and everything removed might last 50 or more years, but we're already having instances where Super Nintendo, NES, even Nintendo 3DS cartridges have been failing. And that's just a thing that's going to happen. So eventually, these boxes that are sealed, which may or may not even have the cartridge inside them, because when you send these in for grading, I mean, WADA's not going to be opening them up. They rate the seal on the packaging, and that's pretty much that. It could be a loaf of bread inside of there. How's that for leaving breadcrumbs? And you may never know. There are even instances of people saying, hey, I have an original plastic wrap sealing machine, and I could do this all day and make a ton of money. So, these things will eventually fail. If they still have that kind of value just for being pieces of history, it'll be interesting to see. But when it comes to archiving, playing, anything like that, this ain't it for us. And the very final thing I want to end on is just how awkward and arbitrary it seems like the A-plus ratings that WADA gives things. So they'll grade the seal with a number, with a letter value, and then give a number to the overall presentation of the packaging. I sent Neil a picture of a particular copy of Tomb Raider that had an A-plus rating, which is supposed to be, you know, it could have minor scuffs, but it can't have any holes or tears in it. And it had a 9.8 all across the board. But there were two obvious holes, like a big tear on the bottom of this Sega Saturn Tomb Raider cartridge. There was dirt, a whole bunch of other imperfections that their own grading scale, as listed on their website, would deny such a high rating to. Like, on their website, they state, an A-plus can't be given to something with holes in it. Yet this did.
So I just want to say, as a former B student, I don't know if I can really address what is an A or A-plus, but I can definitely say, if I had holes in me, I probably wouldn't be getting an A either.
I mean, you do have holes in you, and it's a shame that I have to teach you this.
Okay.
When you're of this age.
I lied. I wasn't a B student. I was a C student.
Well, you definitely got a D in anatomy and physiology, Mr. I don't have any holes.
So, thank you for following our breadcrumbs to the loaf of sourdough bread that is this really, really sketchy industry.
I'm sorry for bringing up Neil's holes to anyone who might be listening to this.
So, thank you for listening to the Gin Lounge. We're glad to be back. We hope to hear from you guys, and let us know what you think about the situation. If you've bought any games, we'd love to hear from you. Shoot us an email at ginlounge@gameindustry.com. We would love to talk with you about it, maybe even have like a follow-up show. So you guys have a great night, and we look forward to talking to you guys next time.
Peace.